Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Wheels India, hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Basudeb Banerjee from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Rutuja. Good afternoon to all the participants. We have with us the management of Wheels India Limited, represented by MD Mr. Sivasram and CFO Mr. Ramesh. Thanks to the management for giving us the opportunity to host the call. So over to you, Mr. Ram, for your initial comments for that by Q&A session.
Thank you, Basudeb, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us for the call. We had a fairly mixed second quarter. The top line growth, the turnover increased on a Y-on-Y basis. Q2 increased from 911 crores to 1,109 crores, which is a 21.74% increase in top line. The bottom line came down from 21.2 crores to 15.14 crores, which is a 28% decline. Other salient features is that exports were 23% of the total turnover. There is some amount of decoupling which is happening, wherein we are seeing international markets slowing down and the Indian markets are still remaining reasonably strong on a Y-on-Y basis. The company had a couple of major challenges in the quarter. The first one was that interest cost for the company has gone up substantially. A, because the bulk of the impact of the 1.9% rate increase that took place on our books started taking effect only in the second quarter. So there was a large chunk which built up due to that. There was also additional interest costs due to additional borrowings, because we found that the export markets, where there was some element of buoyancy or prospective buoyancy in the first quarter, where if you looked at it internationally, we saw commodity prices all shoot up in the month of June and then plummet shortly after. So the same thing happened with our customers, where customers had orders, we had ordered material based on it, and suddenly there was a cancellation of orders because they realized they were sitting on a lot of stock. So this is this impact of stock correction, if you can call it that, impacted us in the second quarter, notably in the months of August and September. It's expected to be there to some extent even in October and November, following which we have interacted with our customers and they said that from December onwards, things will return to some degree of normalcy. In terms of the businesses that were impacted by the export slowdown, it was more the more retail-facing type of customers. For example, aluminium wheels, where we sell in the aftermarket in the US, there was a big drop due to the stock correction. However, the OEM-related businesses that we have remain pretty much in line. In the Indian market, of course, if you look at it, especially on a Y-on-Y basis, both commercial vehicles and passenger cars showed fairly decent growth on a Y-on-Y basis. And sentiments were quite good, and volumes also came through for us. The tractor market showed marginal growth, but again coming off a fairly strong year last year. The segment which for us has shown relatively unexpected growth was the air suspension business, where it was very badly affected by COVID over the last 3 years. and we started seeing volumes kick in from the month of August. Now, it's expected that this will continue for the, you know, the at least the next 8 to 12 months. Definitely, the bus volumes will come back. I'd like to also, you know, give you a sense of what has happened by talking about a share of revenues that came from different segments. One is the automotive segment, while it by and large remained the same compared to Q2 of last year at 57%. There was a change in the sense that the aluminium business dropped from 8% to 5% because of this order cancellation, and the CV business picked up the slack and grew from 18% last year was low to 21%. So CV increased. Tractor and passenger remained pretty much the same. The construction equipment business also remained pretty much the same. It is at currently at about 24%. In the wind business for us is a global business, and globally, due to shortage of components, there's been a slowdown in that business, and we were hit. Our turnover came down from 14% to 10%. The air suspension business, however, grew from 4% of our total revenue to 8% of our total revenue. So if I look at the different segments in the second quarter, the percentage of revenue, 21% for CV, 22% from tractor, 24% from the earth mover segment, passenger steel 9%, passenger aluminium 5%, air suspension 8%, and wind 10%. Exports, as I mentioned, has come down. It had gone up to as high as 28%, but with the domestic market growing and the export market slowing down, it came down to 23% in the second quarter. The second quarter also saw the company start a new plant. Of course, it started only in the end of September, but the company has set up a plant for machining of large castings, which feeds into windmill-related customers, where the customers have also given us, you know, back orders, and we will be doing machining for a casting manufacturer. It's a business which will be more of a conversion type of business, and the company has invested close to about 75 crores in this business. Other feedback I'd like to give you is that while we had a CapEx plan for the year, given the slowdown, relative slowdown in the export markets, to the extent possible, we are trying to cut CapEx, or at least postpone CapEx from this year to the next year, or whenever the market shows sign of improvement. The company also has changed its focus. After the rate increase, we have really focused a lot on working capital. We did a lot of work in reducing debtors in the second quarter. And in the third quarter, we have a focus on inventory, where we plan to bring down our inventory. And by doing this, we hope that much as we have done in the second quarter and maintain free cash flows, we will also find a way of managing free cash flows in the third quarter. So this is my brief, and I'm open to any questions that any of you may have.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Devansh Negotia from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and thanks for the detailed commentary. So just a couple of questions. So one related to exports, can you just elaborate a bit more in terms of the volume loss that we're seeing in exports? If you can divide it between the orders of, if you can divide it between the market share loss, if at all any we had, and between the end industry volume loss. How is that interplayed in last 6 months in comparison to last year?
So actually, the none of the drop is due to business share loss. The drop in export business has happened largely in aluminium and in the windmill segment. Windmill segment itself underperformed as an industry globally because of shortage of parts, and thereby when our customers make fewer windmills, the number of parts we can ship comes down. That actually came into effect more in the second quarter than the first quarter. The second element is the aluminium wheels. And in the aluminium wheels, actually, when the US market was very hot at one point in the first quarter, but in the second quarter, when the commodity prices suddenly went up, it also came down quite dramatically. And at that point, suddenly, retail in North America and Europe suddenly fell, and customers found that they were sitting on more stock than they were actually selling. So they've gone through a period of correction. They've gone and are going through a period of correction, which we believe, based on their feedback, will correct itself from December onwards.
Okay. So in exports, we are largely into aluminium wheel and not steel wheels.
No. We are very large in construction wheels and also agriculture tractor wheels. There is no reduction.
Okay. Where volumes are flat YOY, but it is aluminium wheel which is seeing the drop.
No, volume has grown actually. Construction is 24%. But it's 24% of a higher number. 24% of 911 and 24% of 1109 is a higher number.
Okay. Sir,
the drop has been in aluminium. The drop has also been a significant drop because they have basically cut schedules completely.
Okay. So, and in aluminium wheel, there are largely passenger vehicles.
Yes.
Okay. So there's a demand, and we are largely catering to OEM or aftermarket. In exports?
Aluminium is aftermarket. So in aluminium, it is largely aftermarket. So there has been a cut. But the customer said that now demand is slowly coming back and he's destocked, so he'll start ordering from December.
Okay. And so have you seen any benefits of Europe plus one opportunity because the production cost for them have gone up significantly? So any benefits, if at all, we are seeing?
No, to start off with, actually, so if I look at geographies, we have seen negative growth in export in Europe. We have seen positive growth in the US. Of course, very positive growth in Latin America, of course, of a lower base, but fairly strong growth there. And some marginal growth in Europe, Asia Pacific. So Europe has already been weak, but that said, I actually participated in an expo in Europe about 2 months back, and customers have said that there is demand and they are anxious about suppliers from existing suppliers, but for that to come into supplies, there is a process because these are again trailer manufacturers were kind of like OEs. So there's a process of validating the product. So I think by the time supplies from there start coming, it will be the fourth quarter.
Okay. And in case of alloy wheel, what would be a domestic business scale as of now?
So domestic business, we just started our aluminium plant last year. So there's a process with OEMs that A, you need to be manufacturing for at least 6 months, and then they do an audit. Okay. And then they award you business. We have got awarded a business which starts in May of next year. And we are also in discussion with a domestic OEM whose business will start in August of next year.
Okay. And what would be the current import duty structure for alloy wheel in India? Because earlier this market was largely dependent on imports.
No, that's changed. Now it's all almost, I will not say 100% Indian, but I would say that barring some of the, lower volume MNCs, most of the bulk players are buying from Indian sources.
So is it because of the preference towards the domestic suppliers, or is it the protection by the government through some import duties?
I believe it's also protection. I think it's protection and the geopolitics has changed.
Okay. So what
both.
Would be the quantum as of now for import duty?
I'm not entirely sure, sir. I can probably get back to you later, but it's a public domain number. I don't have it off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
Okay. And how do we see this opportunity over the next 2-3 years?
I
For the
think the
domestic market?
opportunity is strong because of two things. One is the Indian passenger vehicle market is moving more towards SUVs. And when it moves to SUVs, A, the ticket size goes up. B, the aluminum fitment on SUVs is much higher than what it is on small cars. Small cars has a relatively higher steel content, whereas on SUVs, the aluminum content is at least 50%.
Okay. And so what do we believe is the right to win of an aluminum wheel manufacturer of one player over another?
So
what would be the key
there are few elements. One is, of course, cost, scale, and the third one is technical ability. So technical ability means your ability to design wheels which are either stronger or lighter or a combination therein. Your ability to offer design or styling related options to the customer. And thirdly will be your ability to scale when the opportunity comes. These are primarily the advantages. Of course, I can't talk about cost because we are relatively new as a player, but we have built up, because of the export business, we've built up capability in both the technical ability to build strength or relative lightness in our product, and we've built the ability to offer finishes and styles which are different from what is in the Indian market. So we're hoping to differentiate on those bases.
Oh, so thanks a lot for the detailed explanation. I'll come back in.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Sagar Parekh from One Up Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, sir, and thank you for taking my question. I have two questions, one on the P&L side and one on the balance sheet side. So coming to the P&L side, I wanted to get your sense on the margins for both the businesses, automotive components and industrial components. So we have seen in Q1, I think industrial components saw negative margins, and in Q2, while industrial improved, the automotive saw some correction in the margin. So if I have to look at 1 or 2 years, where would you like to see your margins in both these segments, especially given the fact that our competitor in India is reporting significantly higher margins than what we are reporting? So just wanted to get your sense on that, if you
sure.
can give some color on both the businesses, margins on
so
both.
So I'll tackle them one after the other. So the first thing is that, as you rightly said, there was additional logistic cost associated with the industrial product business in the first quarter, and also honestly in July as well. So for the first 4 months, we had that impact. The other thing is that, the steel prices corrected quite rapidly last year. And on the industrial products, the correction mechanism is not a quarterly mechanism. So we were not able to correct the steel prices. Now steel price corrections have all been made. So going forward, you will see that the industrial product profitability should be a clean double digit EBITDA going forward. Of course, we got affected because of the logistics cost and the steel cost, but that has been corrected. Now coming to the automotive business has many parts. What we believe, and that's the reason why we made the investment, what we believe is that as the volumes have shifted from steel wheels to aluminum wheels, especially on passenger car, the margins are to be had in the aluminum wheels. But on the aluminum wheels, we have to hit a certain critical volume to be able to get to a healthy type of EBITDA margin. So we feel that it will take us a year or two to reach a healthy level, but we still expect that probably early next year we will be at least at break-even volume. Right now we are bleeding in aluminum. Whatever reasons why the automotive performance has gotten affected is because of the cancellation of schedules on the export aluminum customer. So one, by de-risking the business and having domestic OEM as well as the aftermarket, we will have more reliable volumes. But secondly, also the additional volume that the business brings will also take us closer and past the break-even point, and we should become profitable in the next early part of the next calendar year.
So what is our capacity utilization in the aluminum business right now? And early part, as you said, that you break even in the early part. So at what levels do you break even? And when do you see a full utilization of capacity and possibly, you know, announcing some further capex on the aluminum side?
Yeah, so in terms of aluminum, let me just dive as you're talking, also asking about the future. On industrial, I only spoke about explained for the current period. So in industrial, we've also made this 75 crore investment in a machining line. So machining line works on a conversion cost. So the asset turnover ratio is much lower. It's more like a 1:1 type of asset turnover ratio, but the profitability will be also significantly higher. It's not a question of double digit, it will be a healthy double digit contribution. So that should help the industrial business going forward. May not be immediately, but definitely by the fourth quarter and next year it should improve. Coming to aluminum, see the aluminum plant, there are parts of the plant which are built for a certain scale. So if you can take furnaces, heat treatment ovens, paint plants. Now all those are for 750,000. But you also have machines like the die casting machines and the machining cells. So the die casting machines and the machining cells, what Wheels India has at the moment is for about 40,000 a month. Our break-even point is about 33,000, 34,000 a month. We had actually gone up to 24,000 and we were expecting additional volume when this sudden cut took place. So this gives you an idea. So when we, once we reach, get closer to that 40,000, we'll make fresh investments, and going up to that 750,000, it'll be only in terms of the machining cells and the casting machines. Then once you have 750,000, again the cycle starts.
Got it. So at full scale, where would you like to see the margins on the automotive side, given, assuming that in 2 years, you know, aluminum will possibly go to about full utilization? And
Aluminum at full utilization, I'd like to believe, based on the experience of others, that it will be a double digit EBITDA business. On the steel wheel, tractor and construction is already a double-digit EBITDA business. Tractor, with more of the export business coming in, will become a double-digit EBITDA business. Commercial vehicle may be on the, you know, single-digit, but maybe higher single-digit EBITDA business. That's the way we see it.
Okay, understood. So about 20% of your business will remain high single-digit. Yeah. And about the rest of the businesses, including steel, tractor steel, construction vehicles, as well as aluminum, will all be in double digits, as well as...
Yeah, construction incidentally is already there. So it's just the aluminum needs to ramp up to bring auto back up. Right. And on tractor, we need to increase our exports a little bit.
Understood. Perfect. And my second question was on the balance sheet side. So you mentioned that the interest cost has significantly been shot up due to, due to obviously the higher increases in the rate, as well as there was some, you mentioned that the debt has also gone up.
So if I looked at, for example, if I look at the interest cost and compare Q2 Y on Y, there's about 8 to 9 crores worth of increase. Out of that, 3.9 crores is due to rate. The balance is due to increased borrowings. Now, the borrowings are all largely working capital borrowings.
Okay, got it. But on the sequential side, if I look at from March quarter to now, our borrowings have actually come down.
Yeah.
About 30, 35 crores, if I'm not mistaken, from 845 net borrowings.
It should come down further. It should come down further because right now, typically Wheels India would, whenever we get a bunch of capex, we would retire the existing loan and then we'll take roll it over for the fresh capex that comes in. That's typically what we've been doing. This time we're trying to limit the capex so that we don't do the rollover.
Right. So my question was that in spite of the debt coming down in the last 6 months, the interest cost on a quarter-on-quarter basis actually has seen increase. So can that be completely attributable to that rate increases that you're talking about?
No, because there is also bill discounting that takes place.
Okay.
So if I look at the debt per se, debt has come down. Let me be honest, everything told, total debt has come down.
Yeah.
But it has not come down by that much. We've attacked the debtors part of it, or rather largely attacked the debtors part. We still have some work. We are looking at doing factoring without recourse with some of our export customers to ensure that the payments come on time quickly. But we are also going to do major correction on inventory. So inventory, like I mentioned, aluminum is sitting on a hell of a lot of inventory and schedules are very, very low. So when the volume comes back, the inventory will go away. Similarly, on the wind business, when the business suddenly stopped, it literally went from air freight to don't ship. So there again, we believe that we'll do most of the correction by December.
Got it.
And on the wind business also, incidentally, we built, Vande Bharat, the train. Vande Bharat is a new version of what used to be called Train 18. So we had actually built a prototype bogie frame for Train 18 many years back. And the business didn't come. We were just sitting on that material and stock. Now this Vande Bharat has come. We submitted our samples. Hopefully we get some business in the fourth quarter and we can deplete our stocks.
So you're saying that within the wind segment, we are expected to get some business from Vande Bharat.
Yeah, that is the facility. It's a railway, this thing, but that facility had built a prototype quite a few years back.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have is there a bidding process or something for this where we have?
Yeah, there'll be a bidding process. We're confident of getting some business. We'll have to wait and see. Team is confident at the moment.
Got it. Got it. Great, sir. All the best. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sonal Gupta from L&T Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Just a few questions. One was on the wind side, like you mentioned. The investment that you're making is for steel machining, steel castings or bronze castings, anything there?
No, these are ferrous castings. But just to give you an idea, the smallest casting that we're talking about machining is 3 tons. The largest one is 24 tons. So these are very large castings. So, nothing you can think of. Some of them you don't use a crane. You use a large moving platform.
Got it. So these are, I guess, large wind turbine rotors or whatever.
Hub-related parts, shafts, bearing-related casings.
Got it. And what is the outlook for the wind side that you see in the next 6 months?
Okay, so this year, and again, I'm again only talking largely from public domain because a lot of our customers are listed and we only get what everyone else gets. So they are saying that while they had back orders, the production was hampered due to supply chain constraints. They're slowly coming out of the supply chain constraints, so they have at least indicated to us. This year we had a degrowth. We expect a degrowth in the windmill business out of all the businesses to the extent of maybe something like 20 or just short of 20% degrowth. Next year we see fairly significant growth coming because according to them, they have debottlenecked some of the challenges that they had. So they are saying that the business will come back in FY23. FY24, some of our customers are entering the, we are going to start supplying parts for the offshore wind, which again is a growth opportunity.
Got it, sir. But just to clarify on this, so do you supply within India to the OEMs and then they manufacture in India and export it, or are you exporting directly your components?
So we are doing two things. You are very right, because most of the MNCs in India actually produce product for export as well. There are some, of course, like Siemens Gamesa, who are actually also fitting it in India, but a lot of them also export a fair amount. So most of our domestic is actually for export by the windmill manufacturers, but our export, direct export is also there. We do have direct exports to at least the large windmill manufacturers globally.
And these new orders are for export, or they are, I mean, domestic and within India?
These are both export and domestic, because some of the domestic, again, as I mentioned, is for export.
Right. And so the other thing was on the aluminium castings, on the passenger vehicle side. Just wanted to understand, like you mentioned, you have inventory. So is it high cost inventory? Because again, aluminium prices came down pretty sharply. And is that also weighing on your margins currently?
No, that's very much a point. As a matter of fact, when we examined under recovery in the second quarter, aluminium, there was severe under recovery because of the fact that it went up and then sharply dropped. Unfortunately, we're sitting on, we don't have great orders up to December, but we are sitting on some inventory, but it should be exhausted by end of December. So we'll be back to an even keel from January in terms of costing and pricing.
Even at the current order rates that you're seeing?
Yes, because we have visibility now for November and December based on that.
Got it, sir. And overall, how do you see the domestic side in terms of outlook? If I see the medium heavy commercial vehicle production was down in the second quarter, how do you think it will down in single digits, but how do you think, are we seeing further slowdown in the third quarter on a sequential basis?
So third quarter is better, but it's not, CV is typically, when it has come up, it has been a hockey stick. It is definitely not a hockey stick. And I think also given that you had Dashara and Diwali in the same month, October was kind of slow from a production viewpoint. They of course would have sold a lot of vehicles. So production viewpoint was relatively slow. So we have to see how November and December takes place. The couple of points that I'd like to mention. One is, I think the road infrastructure spend so far this year has been quite low. However, the finance minister recently said that they are going to be spending a lot on infra, and out of fiscal discipline, they'll find the funds to spend. So if that government capex takes place, road infra actually has a bearing on us in three segments. Of course, road construction equipment in India, commercial vehicles to carry all the overburden of the digging, and thirdly, air suspension, because the commercial vehicle also end up being multi-axle vehicles which have lift axles.
Got it, sir. And just lastly, in terms of, like you mentioned on the interest cost and on the factoring, and receivable factoring. So just so for the domestic customers, what are your receivable terms?
So it varies from segment to segment.
I mean, like on the auto side, like
yeah, yeah. It varies. It 30 days, 45 days, 60 days, typically. Anywhere in that range.
30 to 60 days.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine, sir. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajat Setia from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to check what is our plan for deleveraging the balance sheet? By when do we expect to be term loan free?
I can tell you what our plans are for the next, say 12 months, and then give you a hint of what is going to happen. So term loans have actually come down. Most of the debt that we carry is working capital, but you're right, there is still term loan. We had actually planned this year itself to do deleveraging. Unfortunately, with the additional logistic costs in the first quarter and the interest hike that took place, we were not able to build up the surpluses that we thought we would build up in the first half. But we are going to be much more prudent in terms of CapEx, of course, in the second half, but also in the coming year. Because I think ultimately, I do not want to take, additional debt for CapEx. Unless we are seeing some buoyancy in the market, we would be very reluctant to take on additional term loans. In normal circumstances, as I mentioned to one of your colleagues, we would have rolled over term loans, but now we are also trying to not do that and manage with internal accruals. So there's a focus on free cash flows, operational focus on free cash flows in each of the businesses. And we hope by having that type of review mechanism, it will improve. Secondly, the margins will improve. As I mentioned, some of the segments, notably the, industrial segment, there was under recovery and now that is beyond us, past us. So with the material cost under recovery not being there, your margins should also improve significantly. I'd also like to mention a couple of businesses which have been relatively small in the recent past, which are growing. One is the air suspension business, which is not capital intensive. So when you have a non-capital intensive business that's growing, again, what you bring to the bottom vis-a-vis what you put in, that equation changes. The other business, which for us is growing and which is now going to become profitable or is profitable because the scale has been achieved, is fabrication for the construction industry. So both of these, I think, should see a turnaround. And the windmill, the 75 crore investment that I mentioned above, that should start, breaking even and earning its money from the fourth quarter. Aluminium, hopefully, in the early part of next year will turn around. So once a lot of these businesses which have earlier been hampered start turning around, as some of them are already doing, you will start seeing the profitability increase for the company.
Sure. Thank you so much. The other question is, how was the volume compared to the last quarter in this quarter?
You're talking about Q2 or what is
it? Yeah, Q2 versus Q1 of the year itself.
So Q2 versus Q1 was about...
Sorry, I just wanted to ask only about the export volumes.
Okay, so let me just answer you. I'll just check the number. I have a screen in front of me so that I don't give you an estimate and give you an actual number.
Sure.
Yeah, headline numbers. Q2. I'm sorry, I have only H1, but my recollection is that the growth was about something like 9% in Q2 vis-a-vis 9 to 10% in Q2 vis-à-vis Q1. But I am concerned that, you know, that trend will reverse for two reasons. One is, you know, while we talk about revenues assuming price neutrality, there's also been a steep reduction in steel prices. So there will also be the effect of that affecting our top line. While it's good for us from a working capital and honestly even a margin viewpoint, in terms of top line, that may come down. So I think the third quarter is definitely going to probably, as we don't see any real buoyancy in the third quarter, as you know, we expect that the third quarter could be lower in terms of top line. Doesn't mean it has to be lower in bottom line.
So this 9% you mentioned is the volume growth or the top line growth?
No, it is a volume growth, because actually exports also grew despite everything that I said, which is what I'm trying to tell you. You know, export, April was okay, May was better, June was strong, July was strong, and then August dropped. It was very, very disruptive. From 15th of August, literally the things stopped. But we still showed growth in Q2 vis-a-vis Q1.
Sure. And sir, if you can spend some time, I'm actually new to the company. If you can spend some time on explaining a little bit about your wind business, railway components, and the air suspension parts business that you do. I mean, what exactly do we do there, and the what kind of market opportunity exists?
Okay.
How is the competition landscape?
Yeah. So I'll try to explain all of this. So I'll start with the air suspension business. There are two parts of the business. One is the bus air suspension. A lot of buses have, and especially a lot of the SU buses which come on tender, not all of them, but there's a fair number that actually have air suspension fitted. Air suspension is a module which is fitted onto the bus to improve the ride quality of the bus. So it's something that Wheels India had pioneered in the 90s. It became an OE fitment from 2000 onwards. And we now supply, while we do some retrofitment, we largely supply to the OEs. So we see this business now picking up, because we are seeing a lot of the STU orders coming in. So I think the next 12 months is going to be strong on STU orders, not only for conventional, but also for electric buses, because we are also there on electric buses. B, there is also a lift axle business, which is based on multi-axle vehicles, where for the south-based commercial vehicle OEMs, we are the supplier for the lift axle suspension. And as that market grows, the air suspension business will grow. Air suspension also has an aftermarket for the bus-related parts. And there, given the large vehicle park, we have a reasonable volume, which is there. That is the air suspension business. On wind, we have essentially two types of businesses. One was fabrication and machining, which are large fabrications which form part of the nacelle of the windmill. Nacelle is where the drive of the windmill is. You have a tower and then you have a drive on top. So large parts of the drive of the windmill were being manufactured by Wheels India using fabrication and then machining. Parts are quite large. 3 tons is fairly standard. Some go up to even 6 tons. So these parts are fabricated by us and then precision machined. We also have another component which is bent and machined, that is not fabricated but just bent and machined. These are the two types of parts that we currently make. As I mentioned, we've just started getting into casting and the machining of castings. So there will be the three types of businesses that we have in wind. Wind is largely an OEM business. All our customers are MNC OEMs. For about 4 of them, we are supplying in the country, and 3 of them we are also exporting. Now, in addition to windmill customers, we are also now examining whether we can service large tier ones of windmill customers. So that is a business that we are actively pursuing, and we've had some early early success in that. Hopefully, over the next year or so, we can build that business.
Thanks.
On railways, really, you know, the Train 18 was something, having a faster train is something that caught our fancy. And because we have the similar equipment that makes the windmills can be used to machine the railway parts, so we made a prototype for that. And hopefully on Vande Bharat, it's successful and we get some part of that business and that grows. But the division's main focus will be on the windmill sector. The railway sector is a good add-on, but it is not really a focus.
Okay. What exactly are we going to make in railways? What component?
We make the bogie frame. I'm sorry. Bogie frame.
Bogie. And sir, last question about, first of all, thank you so much for the detailed commentary here. The last question about our margin profile. If you look at our margins over the last many years versus our other listed competitor, our margins are on the lower side. Anything you can help us understand what's the reason for that?
Yeah, I think one is, of course, getting to scale in some of the newer businesses like the aluminum business, where we break even. So we have a number of businesses which are new, have to break even. When they break even, they become profitable. So we would have to wait for that to come to start to see some margin expansion. Of course, there are also cases where we've had under-recovery in the recent past, which is no longer the case. But in the recent past, we have also been hampered a bit by that. And of course, as I mentioned, we had that extraordinary logistic cost impact in the first 4 months. So these things and the scaling up of some of the investments that we make should help us come out of it. And also, I think the cycle's turning on some of the segments like the air suspension and fabrication for construction. We'll start seeing those becoming fairly healthy EBITDA and faster growing segments.
Sure. I think you broadly alluded to the latest scenario, I mean, last 1-2 years. However, if we look at last even, let's say, 10 years of our performance versus the competitive performance, there is a gap of 2-3% in terms of margins at the operating level. So not sure if it is because of some.
The products are different. So the product mix is slightly different. He has also expanded quite successfully in scale in aluminum, which is giving him a significant advantage in recent times. But the product profile is quite different. So I can only give you my plan on how I plan to expand my margin.
Sure.
I don't know what his strategy is going forward.
No. I just wanted to understand the past, and you have very accurately explained the strategy for the future. And thank you so much, sir, and be sure.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keval Shah from Jeeta Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is regarding alloy wheels. You mentioned that the real right to win comes with the cost and the scale. So, sir, then how have we been able to make a mark in exports, you know, compared to our competitors in China, you know, who really have that scale benefit?
Yeah, so a couple of things. One is, we are not going for you know, the plain vanilla type of aluminum wheels. We're going in for slightly premium aluminum wheels, where the finish requirements automatically means the number of people who can make it get limited. Of course, there are also Chinese manufacturers in that mix. One major change that has happened in the last 3 years is actually American companies were so happy with Chinese that they would not look at another person unless you're so much less than the Chinese. Now that has changed because of the geopolitics which is there currently. And because of the changing geopolitics, they are more willing to look at Indian companies. They also have, you know, duties on Chinese products, and all this makes an economic sense for them to buy from us.
Okay. So net of duties, basically, we as Indian players are able to sort of compete with China on a similar set of a product, maybe not the plain alloy wheel, but, you know, any premium
The duty, the fact that there's duty on Chinese product helps us compete, definitely.
Got it. The second question was, with the kind of problems that Europe is having right now, you know, because of the escalated power cost, and you did mention that you're having, you know, you've had conversation with a couple of OEMs maybe there who might want to shift their supply base to some to a player like us. Do you think that those conversations are, you know, sort of happening materially, and, you know, things might change, and how big opportunity do you think it can be over the period of time for us?
See, I've been you know, participating in these shows in Europe for the last 20 years, and typically you're right, when in a show everybody is everyone's friend. And then when you go back, you don't hear from them. But this time, I think they seem to be genuinely concerned about getting supplies from existing players and about the escalating cost of supplies. So I think that there is an opportunity. Again, we'll have to wait. You know, they don't function for that, you know, mid-December to early January. But definitely a couple of them who are even interested in new products that we have. So there should be something that comes out of it. I don't want to, when you go on a marketing thing, it sounds very positive. So I'd wait for the orders to come before I can tell you something for certain. But it was positive, definitely.
And so typically, how much time does it take for the engagement to sort of materialize and, you know, and to sort of relationship to start
to
from
eight,
the time?
Six to eight. 6 to 8 months for these people. If it is, you know, like OEM first time and all that, it can be 12.
Okay.
New OEM. That is, if it is new OEM and first time engagement, can be 12 months.
Got it, sir. And sir, last question was on the air suspension category. So can you please explain us on the market of the air suspension in a geography like India, and how big an opportunity do you think it can be for the company going forward?
See, it's something where we are also already a fairly large supplier into the market. There is competition. There's J Parabolic. There is Wabco who's entered. And I believe Hendrickson also who's entered. So there are other players who are already there in the business. I think the opportunity on air suspension depends on, you know, really how much the government is willing to spend on buses. Because bus fleets are still, while you have private buses, the government orders are still important, and that's dependent on government spending money. But recently, you know, government is willing to spend significant amounts on electric buses and things like that. If some of that comes through, definitely, if I hear what they are saying, it sounds quite exciting. But probably wait and see how it actually pans out.
Okay, sir. Okay, got it, sir. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Prolin from Goldfish Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Two questions on your export. One is on the non-alloy export. Could you give us some color on what is the share of non-alloy exports and how are that panning out? Where I'm coming from is we had a tie-up with Titan Corporation, if I'm not wrong, a few years back. And now we no longer are with them. So how is that experience and now not being in that JV helping us to grow our... and I believe this was for the non-alloy part of it, non-aluminium part of it, if I'm not wrong. So how is that helping us to probably, you know, grow in that non-alloy export market?
Sure, I'll try to give you an answer. It'll be slightly long, but please bear with me. On the construction, so there's a construction wheel side and there's a tractor wheel side. So on the construction wheel side, Wheels India is already a significant player, but we are not there with three or four large OEMs. So those three or four large OEMs, we have started discussions. Matter of fact, even today, one of my colleagues is in America visiting one of them. And that should come into fruition hopefully in the coming year. That's on construction. On agriculture tractor, you know, barring one of the also earlier when Titan was there, the tractor guys used to say you're part of Titan Group. So Titan Group ko is percentage se zyada nahi de sakta.
Correct.
So it became like that. Now that we are not related to them, they are open to higher percentage of business coming to us. But it calls for a lot of follow-up. I think the one OEM with whom we are already there, it probably becomes easier because trust and you know relationship has been established. But on the others, it will take effort from our entire team, including myself, to meet them and bring it into fruition. So I would say it's a one year type of journey. And they also want to know, are we serious about this long term? So it will also call for some top management meetings with them.
Sure, but just to follow up on this part, Tony, aren't we trying for this for quite some time now? Because I remember in the past also, you when you had the conference calls once in a while, you mentioned about this, you know, we are in discussion with some of these customers and that relationship needs to fructify. So just wanted to check what is the reason for that delay, because I thought that, you know, once that, I mean, you know, that Titan is not there.
I can answer you.
Sure.
So first of all, we bought out Titan only during COVID. So before COVID, we did not have an opportunity. So it's only after COVID that we had an opportunity.
Okay.
We've been able to make progress with the one OEM who we were already supplying, but to a lesser extent. Now he is looking at us across a wider range of products. On the other two OEMs, we have already quoted one RFQs, quoted, done everything, validated the product. But they will start with one plant, try it for 3 months, no problem, then they'll bring in another plant. So it happens in a phased manner. So I feel for a lot of this to come into play, it will take till next year. So the question of share of business. So they'll start you with 20% share of business. Then they'll move you to 30% for a particular plant. So that's kind of how it moves up. So it is all moving. Right now, the discussions have been more in the Americas, that is US, US, Mexico, and LATAM. But we are also trying to have discussions with Europe because Europe, of course, they're tougher customers, but the price advantage could also be significant. We'll have to see. It depends on when the customer is ready to try us. But
and
it's moving.
Sorry.
That's the only thing I can say.
Sorry. You were saying something. This is all work in progress, right? Is what you wanted to...
It's work in progress. And let me tell you, the tractor exports continues to grow.
Understood. Right.
So and even now, if you look at it, quarter on quarter, Y on Y, it's growth.
Sure. So now coming to the alloy wheels export part, you mentioned that you are present in the aftermarket, right? So how does this business take place? Is it through distributors and will they control the brand or which, where do they want to take supply from? And how easy or difficult is to get into export OE part of the alloy wheel segment?
So two things. Let me first tell you that we are currently looking at only export OEM and domestic, export aftermarket and domestic OEM. We are not looking at export OEM as yet. On the export aftermarket, our customer is the largest distributor of aluminum wheels in the world. He is in multiple geographies. He has his own plant. He's been buying largely from China. He's also buying from us. And it's a relationship where the relationship is with the chief operating officer and the chief executive officer at their level.
Okay.
So how did we get into this, you ask me? We were a large supplier of forged aluminum wheels to the same party. Because he had a good experience with us in forged aluminum wheels, he decided to give us a chunk of business or commit a chunk of business for cast aluminum. Because he had 5-6 years of experience on forged aluminum.
Sure. And any particular reason why we don't want to get into OE right now? I mean, is that a slightly more long-term kind of a process? I mean, any reason?
It is a long-term process. And to be honest, a lot of the MNC OEMs overseas will say, if you're not even supplying an Indian OEM, why should I buy from you? So we'll have to start supplying the Indian OEM and the MNC in India.
Okay.
And hopefully once we do that, we will get opportunities. We have already, I mean, as I mentioned, we've already won some business with the MNC OEM in India, and hopefully if they have a positive experience with us, we could get an opportunity in export as well.
Sure, understood. And this last question would be, what would be typical, I mean, between aluminium and ferrous, right? I mean, what would be the asset turns look like?
Yeah, I think aluminium, the asset turns are much lower than what they are on steel. It's more capital intensive.
Okay.
For the same scale, it is more capital intensive.
Sure. So the, where I'm coming from is you mentioned that the margins in aluminium would be high single digits. And, you know, your core CV business will be...
No, no, I said aluminium right. should be double a double-digit EBITDA. The CV business is a single-digit.
Correct. So, no, I was looking at from a ROC perspective, right? I mean, for both the division. I mean, after accounting for higher margins, aluminium and low asset turns, still the ROC would be higher for aluminium business, or would it be at par with the steel business?
Yeah, it depends on what scale you get to. So on the once you get to a higher scale. Capacity utilization, overall capacity utilization, your margin will be higher.
Okay, so once that optimal capacity utilization will be reached, aluminium ROC would be higher than steel ROC. That's a fair way to look at it?
Could be. I'll be honest, I've not calculated
sure.
it. I'm
sure,
just
right.
telling you what I feel.
Yeah. Sure, sure. And lastly, on this domestic OEM market for the alloy wheel, are we also looking for that? I mean, are we trying there also? Because
yes.
you mentioned about the MNC
yes,
OEM.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, also. Yeah. So I meant MNC in India. So okay. we have a MNC in India whose business we've won, and we're close to also winning an Indian OEM
okay.
in India business. Okay. Which we are saying will come in the second quarter.
Sure. And this typically, I mean, when you say winning the business, it's more to do with we being a preferred supplier for their new launches, right? I mean, that's how it
no,
works.
They give you a letter of intent, then they okay. test you commercially, then they ask you to prove technically that you can make the product, and then they give you a clearance, then you tool up for it, and then you give them samples, they clear the samples, and then they get into bulk. It's a process.
Sure, but it's model specific, right? I mean, am I correct? This entire
cycle model
is model.
Correct.
Oh, correct. That's it from my side. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your active participation and interest in our company. We'll continue to update you whenever we get such opportunities to interact with you. It's been quite a productive session, at least on my end. I hope we have been able to adequately answer your questions. And we continue to looking at working together with the investor community going forward. Thank you once again. Wish you all the best for the festival season, although we are past the end of it, and have a good day.
Thank you.
On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.